Good afternoon. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and this is Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in and making us a part of your afternoon. You know, we're here with you every afternoon, noon to one, on Wednesday afternoons, and we're just all about the creative arts community here in Kansas City. Today on tap, we have Selena O'Neill with the Charlotte Street Foundation, painter Michael Young and Fred Whitehead, and then we have Melissa Stan with the Mid-Continent Public Library, the Woodneath Library location, and we're going to hear all about the fun events and readings that they have in store lined up for you in the next few weeks. But we're going to get started first with the Charlotte Street Foundation's Selena O'Neill. She's on board to oversee the Neighborhood Residency Program. Selena has a personal connection with the Troost Corridor as a resident and practicing artist and arts advocate. Now, with a lifelong background working in various nonprofit and community-based initiatives throughout the greater Kansas City area, Selena will facilitate the goals of the program and act as a connector between the arts and the program and the resources available in the community. So welcome to Selena O'Neill.
Thanks, Maria. Great to be here.
Very, very happy to have you here. And I want to mention to our listeners that we were talking in the green room. Selena has a little bit of history with KKFI, so we're happy that you're back in a new location. Just briefly, just tell us what you did for KKFI.
You bet. Back in 1999, 2000, I was disc jockey over at the Westport Road location with Cafe Olay's Blue Plate Special and Crazy Mixed Up World. I think I was on Tuesdays and sometimes Wednesdays and basically sat in with anybody who needed a little help because I had a crazy mixed up record collection. So
we
had a lot
that.
Of fun with it.
We love that about you, and welcome home.
Thanks.
So we're going to hear about the pilot program, the Neighborhood Artist Residency on Troost Avenue here in Kansas City.
You bet. It's really wonderful to be able to talk about this in the 20th year of Charlotte Street's arts advocacy and support
years.
In Kansas City, Missouri, and the greater Kansas City area. Artists come from all over. You know, this city has a state line, it has suburbs, and artists are coming from every direction. And in fact, that's what this program is about. It's about the artists who are coming from the directions that line the Troost Corridor, that line east of Troost, that are active in the vital, we call it Renaissance and continued vibrancy of Troost Corridor, Troost Avenue, and we're asking for artists who may have never experienced the wonderful community arts activities in the Troost area to become involved with what's going on. So it's a little bit of everything.
So we're really happy that, you know, that Charlotte Street is a part of this Troost Avenue corridor, the sort of expansion, renaissance, I should say, of the arts. I mean, they've always been there, but really taken some initiative with this pilot program. So they're seeking visual and performing performance writers, multidisciplinary and hybrid artists, regardless of level of formal arts education or lack thereof. And I think that levels the playing field, right?
It does. It's a neat program that is taking input from new ways, and I'd say even ancient ways of experiencing arts in our communities. Art has always been a part of community. It's what people do together.
Sure.
It's what people do to express themselves individually. But Charlotte Street right now is looking at the fact that artists and community members in the Troost Corridor have been using a geography that's gone through so many transitions and recreating itself year after year, decade after decade. Charlotte Street likes to be on the forefront of what they call risk and collaboration in the arts. They like to support artists directly and are looking at a new way to do this with an engagement in a building that hasn't been used for several years in the Troost Corridor, at 40th and Troost, the old payday loan building, old church's chicken. Mm-hmm. Some people recognize it as many different things right there on the corner. Looking at a space that the community may have input about. basically. And Charlotte Street has access to artists. Charlotte Street has access to resources in the arts and funding. Charlotte Street has a history of engagement with all the different arts organizations in the region, including statewide and even national funding organizations, and wants to basically take a chance on listening to the community and asking what can they do with what they've had for 20 years and what they've done successfully for 20 years. What can they do with that in an area like Truce Corridor in a building that hasn't been used for anything creative, if ever, and recently, definitely not for much at all.
And was part of that listening, listening to the community, was that part of the inspiration that came to that took place for this pilot program?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The program is going to be structured with six. We're not sure exactly how many might show up, but we're saying we'll give it a try. Five, six, seven artists, depending on the applications that we receive. Charlotte Street is looking at listening through artists in a collaborative workspace who want to engage these questions creatively with an arts project or an ongoing arts program, depending on what comes out of this time together, that will be designed and manifested by the artists over 18 months with input from the community. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a process of making an arts statement, but also listening through arts. It's going to be a project where artists are going to spearhead the method by which the listening takes place, be creatively engaged, be visual activity, community meals even. There's some grass areas around parking lot there that need to be addressed perhaps. But the artists will be learning to conduct listening through creative experience.
Wow. You know, if you're just tuned in, I'm talking to Selena O'Neill, who is, she's very excited about this project. She's going to oversee the Neighborhood Residency Program with the Charlotte Street Foundation. And this is a pilot program that looks to build off of Charlotte Street Foundation's established reputation to help artists and communities in the Kansas City area. So a call for entry is now active for artists who wish to work with area community members and invested supporters and the Truce Corridor. And I can just mention that the deadline for the call for entry is Tuesday, October 31st at 11:59 p.m. So let's hear about maybe sort of the guidelines, the application process and requirements.
Thanks, Maria. Yes, we are going to be hosting an outreach and information session this Saturday, October 7th, where we'll be able to explain a little more in detail about the program and answer some questions in person. Some folks from Charlotte Street Foundation will be there to help me with the history of Charlotte Street and the other projects and programs that are available. But we will be using the, it's called the CAFE, Call for Entry system, that is accessible through the Charlotte Street website. There is a big bright link to apply here through the charlottestreet.org website. This will be a juried process. Applicants who are interested in collaborating with community, collaborating with other artists on a long-term committed project that will be funded by Charlotte Street. All supplies and facilitation is funded by Charlotte Street. Artists who are interested in learning how to do a project like this should apply with their portfolio, no matter what the medium. There are options for different types of uploads that are typical of calls for entry for many of the projects that Charlotte Street's done throughout the years. So there will be instructions that should be accessible there. Artists should also think about how they have envisioned their work in relation to their community, wherever that has been thus far. If they've already done collaborative work with other artists who have done social activism or addressed issues in their own community, they should let us know about that. Or if they've just had some great ideas and are mostly getting through the planning stages, but need some feedback, need some guidance, would like to work it out and try some of these ideas out on a cohort, see if other people can give feedback. It might even take off with the other artists. They should let us know and apply.
I love this. You know, so you can, so a lot of the information that you need to know about the Neighborhood Artist Residency, the eligibility, all the guidelines and all that will be on the website, which is
charlottestreet.org. And you're also welcome to email me at selena@charlottestreet.org. I don't mind personal requests for information, because sometimes I can give a little more of a personal response to your particular inquiry. I really want people to know that if you're not sure if something like this is for me as an artist, am I the right kind of artist, or I haven't done big projects with the community before, I really encourage folks to apply no matter what. Charlotte Street has many other supported activities that may be more relevant, but also going through the process of applying, going through the process of learning more about the possibilities of projects like this is important.
Yeah, it really is.
Kansas City's arts supporters need to know that there are people interested in doing this kind of work. So right now, even just gathering a great mailing list of artists who are already out there doing this kind of work, it's great to know about that. And we'll be, I personally will be glad to even keep track of those folks and invite them to be a part of the activities going forward.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. And you did mention that, you know, the website and, of course, the information session that takes place Saturday, October 7th. And that's going to be from 2 to 4:30 p.m. at Hoop Dog Studio. And that's at 3308 Troost Avenue. So that will be a question and answer. And it looks like...
Right now, Maria, we're getting new windows, and the roof is being patched up at the space at 4001 Troost. But folks are welcome to drive by and take a look at this plot of land. So some of the members of the community are helping us out with outreach while we need to have a roof over our heads to talk with people.
You know, and I think it's really important to understand who is eligible for this program, because as I mentioned, that, you know, you're looking for artists who are active and wish to work with the area community members and all that in the Troost corridor. But I also want to mention something that is important, that, of course, applicants should be 21 years of age.
Yes.
And I believe...
Now we can't support anyone who's enrolled in school.
Okay.
We support what they're doing, but Charlotte Street's activities do not cover that right now with this project. So we'd love to hear from you, but we can't support a student. We are going to be insisting that the building is ADA compliant, so we will be asking for people of all abilities who find themselves as creative explorers in the community to apply. And we are looking to conduct this program with at least half of the participants from a 5-mile radius from this epicenter around.
That's what I was going to mention.
We're at 40th and Troost, but you know, we know the 39th and Troost area. We know the 31st and Troost area. And we know people take the bus back and forth, 55th, 63rd, these intersections. We're looking for folks, at least half of the cohort, to come from this area, but that's not the limit. It just means that we'd like to take account of the artists who are already doing work in their own neighborhood.
Absolutely. With that website, too, that we mentioned, the charlottestreet.org, you'll not only, again, find out about the program itself, the application process, the requirements and all that. I think it's really important to understand the application requirements. And then if you have questions, the Saturday event at 2 o'clock at Hoop Dog Studio, that would be a great place to meet someone in person and get those questions answered, right?
You bet. And the truth is, I've been a painter my entire life. I've been an arts advocate and music producer, vocalist, performer, but I have not gone through the cafe process myself. So I'll be learning a lot. I'll also be learning a lot about the Troost Corridor with the cohort, and we'll be sharing that information together. So the Charlotte Street staff is bringing me up to speed on their history, on the history of their activities across the board with supporting artists directly, and we'll be sharing basically the process that the artists are going to go through for this program are the kinds of processes that they would use to apply to many of the resources that are available in our city, in our region, and even for residencies and opportunities, you know, throughout the nation.
Yeah. We're really fortunate to have Charlotte Street Foundation here in Kansas City. So thank you for everything that you do for the community and our artists, because, you know, we need you. And 20 years going strong.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's so terrific.
The Charlotte Street is the Truce Corridor. That is part of the Truce Corridor, and it's just a matter of continuing that legacy right now.
Now, is this, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
Is this pilot program, depending on the success of this,
right,
are you maybe thinking outside the area, maybe a little bit more
an
to
ongoing
the south,
something somewhere
yeah,
else?
Let's have something, yeah, in a different location.
I love being on the spot with that. I'm new to Charlotte Street. I'm a longtime Kansas City resident, but I don't get to speak for the strategic plans of the future. Uh-huh. However, Charlotte Street would like to hear about that. This process will allow, Marie, we're going to be there for nearly 2 years, so this is going to allow for some what I call risk through inquiry. Charlotte Street is going to ask, how does a program like this work in Truce Corridor? And we'll be glad to hear folks from other neighborhoods give input on how they might find this to take place in their own neighborhood.
We want this in our neighborhood, and we want to call it the Selena Street Foundation.
Well, you know, these are projects that, you know, even if it's not ongoing with Charlotte Street, it is putting a spotlight again, like I said, on this type of activity for other arts organizations to look at and for people to think of. If Charlotte Street finds that it's successful, we just want to get as much community feedback about that from the cohort, the artists who participate, from the neighborhood, and from everyone who is participating with us over these next 18 months to 2 years.
And we want to make this, you know, just highlight the fact that the call for entry, the deadline for this is Tuesday, October 31st, which is Halloween. Yay.
Yes.
So we want to make sure that that people who are interested and want to find out more about it, they get plenty of time to get that information online and through the information session on Saturday, right?
You bet. So folks can contact us directly, especially if they're having any technical problems or if they'd like to, again, reach me at selena@charlottestreet.org. You're welcome to drop me a note. You're welcome to send an email with simply the headline, the subject heading info. You don't even have to write very much, and I'll be glad to keep you updated. And I'd like to know from artists in the Truce Corridor, particularly who have already been doing work and reaching out to their own immediate neighborhoods. We'd love to hear from you all. I'd love to hear about what you're already activating and how we can simply be a part of the legacy of creative expression in the Truce Corridor that has been going strong for decades.
That's terrific. And just, I'll just say this, besides what's going on here with this pilot program, the Neighborhood Artist Residency Program, I just want to just mention that there are other things going on with Charlotte Street currently.
That's right. Charlotte Street has rolling activities, just pretty much constantly bursting at the seams with studio residencies, studio space opportunities, gallery exhibitions at La Esquina Gallery and Southwest Boulevard. Charlotte Street also supports great music programming that like just took place at the Folly Theater, Time's Not Listening.
Yeah.
So there's also the Rocket Grants program, which is probably one of our longer running programs that supports artists and their visions directly, provides resources and support throughout different iterations of artistic careers. And it's important to know that Charlotte Street does take into account that folks are, you know, folks who are doing arts in our community are often at different levels.
Yeah.
They're not
yeah.
always just yeah. out of art school that people have gone
well,
to work.
Not, yeah. Not everyone can afford art school.
Right.
So, you know, but making, you know, really quality work and the compassion, the dedication that it takes.
That's right.
You know, to become an artist.
And they're finding that folks need help, or I wouldn't always say so much as help as to support and acknowledgement, opportunity to expose their work to the community and engage resources. And Charlotte Street basically right now is saying, we've done this for 20 years in many different ways throughout the years. They've gone through several different methods of supporting arts, and there's always more ways to look at how it can be done, how Kansas City can become mm-hmm. and continue to be one of the most vibrant arts communities in the country.
Well, as I mentioned, we are grateful to have Charlotte Street Foundation here in Kansas City, but even more grateful that Selena O'Neill is a part of this, who will oversee the Neighborhood Residency Program. You can tell the excitement, the enthusiasm, the support that she has as she's talking to me today. So thank you for that, Selena. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to mention quickly?
I'd be glad to see everyone Saturday at Hoop Dog Studios, 3308 Truce, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll be answering as much as we can, considering it's a pilot program. And again, find me at selena@charlottestreet.org for anything that I may have missed. Just be in touch with us and let us know what you think about what's going on with Arts on Troost.
Very good. And remember, that deadline is October 31st.
So, that's right, Priya. Thank you very much.
You bet. Pay close attention to that. Thank you so much, Lena. And I know you'll be back.
You bet.
Because you'll want to tell us who is in this residency and, you know, share everything else that's happening that's really good in the art world.
Very good. It's a deal. Thanks, Maria.
You bet. You know, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. This is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, here every Wednesday, noon to 1 on 80.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we have Michael Young, artist, and Fred Whitehead, who is a writer. And I just need to get myself together here. Michael Young is showing a series of original paintings, 100 Years of Solitude, that is based on the epic novel by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. The opening reception is this Friday, October 6th, from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Jones Gallery at 1717 Walnut Street here in Kansas City, Missouri. And so we're going to talk to Michael about sort of what prompted you to do a series of original paintings on 100 Years of Solitude. Welcome, Michael Young.
Oh, thanks, Maria. Thanks for having us.
You bet. So tell us what, I know you've been a painter for some time, but there was an interest in 100 Years of Solitude and working with that. So tell us about that.
Yes, it was probably about 4 years ago, my friend Fred Whitehead asked me if I would consider illustrating the book, 100 Years of Solitude by Marquez. At first, I was very excited, but then he gave me the book and the audio version. Uh-huh. And after listening to those, I said, where do I start?
Wow.
There was just so much information and description. And so I put it off for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so intimidating. And then about a year later, my wife said, you know what, you really should think about that. So I revisited it and started doing sketches and black and white sketches for the first painting. At first, we talked about five paintings. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it would take a few more than that to tell the stories. And actually, I actually could have done several more paintings. That's how much information is in this book.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I broke it down into trying to have maybe 10 small stories in each painting, with maybe the backbone or the main focus coming out a little stronger than the others.
Mm-hmm.
The first one took me a long time, but after that I developed a system that I could, you know, reduce the amount of time for mm-hmm. each picture in the terms of the research and sketches and that sort of thing.
But you have a total of 10 paintings,
yes.
Right, for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask Fred. Hello, Fred. Welcome. Fred is sitting right next to Michael. And what made you think this would be a project that Michael should get involved in?
Well, for the past several years, I've been going to the Jones Gallery, which is in the Crossroads District, and David Jones, who owns the gallery, has a kind of longstanding interest and appreciation for Midwestern visionary artists. Who kind of come out of the wilderness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're all different, they're all unique. And so I actually encountered Ian Young, who's Michael's son's work there.
Uh-huh.
And then I got to know Michael's work. He showed a few things there. And I was quite struck by the range of his abilities. In fact, that he was a visionary painter, and it's a visionary novel, is a difficult novel. So it was kind of shot in the dark, and it resulted in this kind of astonishing series.
That's terrific. And I want to mention that Fred Whitehead retired in 2000 from the administration staff of the University of Kansas at the rank of associate professor. But you also have some published books, Free Thought on the American Frontier, The Collected Poems of Don Gordon, and The Whole Song, Selected Poetry of Vincent Ferrini. And also you've produced and directed documentary films, including a commemoration of John Brown's raid at Harper's Ferry and slavery in Missouri. So with Fred's vision of a project that had you in mind, how did you begin? I mean, you certainly, were you familiar with 100 Years of Solitude?
I didn't read the book, but I've heard about it. And when I started, many of my friends said, oh, that's my favorite book. And that's when I realized how popular it was. Maybe work that much harder, but it was just a very exciting time for me, in the sense that probably it was a whole year project. Every time I thought I was finished, I wasn't. There were so many things. I mean, there's so many things that you could do to push something back, to bring something forward, to refine. And I spent the extra time on this series. And it's really different for myself, because I start off as an architectural illustrator here in Kansas City, mm-hmm. over on a state line. So I acquired a lot of tools and techniques from that. Then I went to New York in 78 to study anatomy, artist's anatomy, and I would paint pictures, but then mm-hmm. put people in them. So that's why I felt I needed to combine the two.
And with the subject of, with the magical realist style in this book, did that give you sort of a definition, or did it give you a guideline to what you wanted to, how you wanted to work? Or did it give you a sense of freedom to sort of fill in?
It was a sense of freedom, but on the other hand, it was quite a task for me, because I think differently on my regular pictures, and I really had to change my thinking in terms of approaching this and how to execute it and how to finish them. So it was out of my normal, but I really enjoyed it.
And it was a good challenge.
I'm very proud of them. Thanks to Fred.
Thanks, Fred. Well, if you've just tuned into ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to artist Michael Young, writer Fred Whitehead. We're talking about 100 Years of Solitude, a series of original paintings that's featured at the Jones Gallery, 1717 Walnut Street, with an opening reception this Friday, October 6th, from 5 to 9 p.m. Also, Michael, if you would share with us your website.
My website is Michael Young Fine Art. .com.
Yeah, because I found that the painting that I used for the Facebook event page and our KKFI website, very fanciful, very just really beautiful coloring, and just sort of a dreamlike quality.
Well, thanks.
So, you know, is that what we can expect in this series?
Yes, I think so. I wasn't necessarily always a realist, uh-huh. but I still had, I would consider myself a stylist, which you know, it looks very realistic to look at it, but on the other hand, you still know it's a painting.
Sure.
And the way you shape and light things and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, well, you know, and I want to say that you've got 10 paintings for this. Do you feel like you could do more, or is this sort of complete, or does it inspire you to go on to another sort of project?
Do other projects like this?
Yeah,
I think so. I would welcome that warmly. It was just a different sort of thinking, and I It was just a joy to do after I got past the first three pictures, you know, and still then, when you want to do such a good job, you try so hard, and then sometimes you can try too hard.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to sit back and just relax and say,
yeah,
you know, just go with it.
Well, and it's good to have friends like Fred Whitehead.
Absolutely.
I love this, that it started in 2015. And what I was reading was that he just asked you if you'd be interested in doing a series of paintings in the 100 Years of Solitude, of all things, written by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, that was instrumental in getting these 10 paintings going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody would be able to encompass the detail that's in the novel.
Right.
I mean, it would take a special type of artist, and there are many really excellent artists around here, but Michael Young is, I remember thinking that he's the only one that I know who could take this thing on, let alone accomplish the project. So,
well, very good.
It was something that was fun from beginning to end, and enjoyable, you know.
Well, terrific. Congratulations to you for your opening reception this Friday, 5 to 9 at Jones Gallery, 1717 Walnut Street. Keep us informed of other ongoing projects as you finish this one and go on to the next. So, both of you.
I'm actually just beginning. It's after 5 years. This is another project that's taken a long time. I'm doing a painting a mural for the Kansas Capitol in Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, wow,
right now.
Good.
It's a 22-foot mural with a theme, Brown versus the Board of Education. So it's been another long project, but now getting ready to start the final canvas. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Keep us informed of the progress, would you please?
I certainly will.
Terrific. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Fred, for coming in. And
thanks, Maria.
We look forward to seeing your work Friday at the Jones Gallery. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And this is Maria Vasquez Boyd with ArtSpeak Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us a part of your afternoon. And I say hello to folks who are listening online. Hello, Trudy Pickles. Hello, Winnie Belladonna, my dogs, and my mom. Possibly my sister in Hawaii. So thank you all for tuning in today. Next up, we have Melissa Stan, who is the Story Center Program Manager at Woodneath Library Center. That's at 8900 Northeast Flintlock Road in Kansas City, Missouri. And we want to give a special shout out to Andy Politzian, because Melissa is the new Andy.
Well, there's no replacing Andy. Those are big shoes to fill, but
bless your
heart.
So, Melissa, welcome to the show, and I'm so happy to meet you and hear everything that's going on at Woodneath.
Yeah, thank you so much, Maria. We've definitely got a lot going on. I think a lot of people are familiar with the Midwest Genealogy Center, which is located in Independence.
Right.
They're all connected with the Mid-Continent Public Library, which is a string of libraries in the Northland. I work for another special missions project within Mid-Continent Public Library called the Story Center, which is located at the Woodneath Library Center, and it is specifically, its special mission is to collect, share, and to encourage the formation and development of stories of all kinds. So we've got workshops and performances from oral storytellers. We do writing workshops. We have writing contests. We also do some film series. We're looking into doing some visual art, so digital comic books, podcasts. Really, any way you want to tell your story, we're there to help you tell it.
You know, and I love that, because everyone has a story to tell. You know, whether it's in print or podcasts or, you know, visual, everyone has a story to tell.
Absolutely. And it was great to hear the collaboration between Michael Young and Fred Whitehead that was just a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. if you guys were listening. That's exactly what the Story Center is all about, is bringing people together, collaborating to tell a story that's never been told before in a really unique and beautiful way.
And it's I think it's really important. A lot of times when people come onto the show, they get a little bit nervous. You know, what do we talk about? And it's really, if you think about it, it's a beginning, middle, and end. Everyone has a story. It's got to start someplace, go, and then, you know, wind up. So, you know, what is the story with Woodneath? What's happening there?
So the Woodneath Library Center is actually, if any of you have been, it's this bizarre building that has...
It's kind of historic, too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's got an antebellum house that was built in 1855 and was a farm for quite a while and then transitioned into a single-family home, which then was bought by the library. And there's a modern building. The actual library itself is built onto the side of this old antebellum house. And we keep our collection and all of our circulating items in there. The old antebellum house, which is the Crouch home, for any of you that are familiar with Liberty history, is eventually going to have an adaptive reuse, and the Story Center will be located inside that building. So we'll have some office space for both the Story Center staff as well as for our partners, the National Storytelling Network. They'll be housed there, too. Yeah.
I love that. Well, and I know that... you know, even though I mentioned that the address is 8900 Northeast Flintlock Road, Kansas City, Missouri, it's just sort of on the edge of Liberty, right?
It is, yeah. So it's a Kansas City zip code technically, but it is in the area that most people would consider Liberty. So we're north of the river.
Well, now as we head into fall, because this is October 4th, one of my favorite times of the year.
Oh, mine too.
There's got to be some events that's taken place.
We do. We have a lot of really exciting events coming up. A few of the main programming types that we do, we have our Story Center Speaker Series, which is our main author talks in partnership with Rainy Day Books. Tonight, we are having well-known author Colleen Hoover. She's a romance author, and she'll be here to... Well, I guess at the library to talk about her newest book, Without Merit. Mm-hmm. And then we've got... William Kent Kruger coming in on October 11th to discuss his latest title, Sulphur Springs. And then one of my personal favorite events that's coming up here pretty soon is going to be a collaboration with one of our writing contests. So earlier in September, we put out a writing request for authors within the area to submit a short story, 2,000 to 3,000 words, on a scary topic. And since we are having two different programs that are revolving around that, one for kind of the school-age kids, so not too terrifying.
Sure.
And then we've got another category for the truly terrifying for more horror lovers like myself, something that might induce nightmares for us.
Now, is this going to be down? It's going to take place with the lights kind of dimmed. And
it's
going to
have some dim lighting. I might do some creative decorating.
That
maybe
could be
some
fun.
Spooky music playing in the back.
Tis the season, yes.
Yeah, so those are going to be the night before Halloween, October 30th. And it's going to be a collaboration between the winning submissions of that writing contest. And the winners will be announced on October 6th on our Story Center Facebook page. And the winning submissions are actually going to be performed by master storytellers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's exciting. That's
it
really
is.
Exciting. Now, for that particular event, are you asking people to call in for reservations? Do you have to, you know, reserve a seat?
We are encouraging that people sign up and register so that we know how many chairs to set out. Mm-hmm. And you can access that information on our library website. It's mymcpl.org and then /events. And then if you just look for Story Center events, it's one of the next few coming up. And we'd be glad to see you there.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds great. Wow. You know, Story Center at the Woodneath Library, Woodneath Library Center at 8900 Northeast Flintlock Road, Kansas City, Missouri. The website, again, is mymcpl.org. They have so much going on, and really they have, you know, youth reading and writing workshops and stories for children and adults too, right?
Yeah, we've got
workshops.
Story time every single morning except for Saturdays and Sundays. We've got story time for toddlers, story time for preschoolers and babies. Friday is baby story time, so if you need your adorable baby fix, come hang out and grab some coffee at our coffee shop. And we're really excited, actually, to debut a certification series in partnership with Maple Woods Community College that really targets that adult storytelling niche that, we haven't really developed as fully as we'd like within the Story Center series. So what it is, it's the storytelling certification, and we take participants from that very first spark of inspiration, that first nugget of a story idea, and we tell them how to develop that story, how to hone their craft, whether that's through editing or through really finding the story arc, finding unique and interesting obstacles for their characters to go through, or really just refining those characters into things that their readers are really going to want to listen to. And then as well, taking that through the development, creation, all the way to having something to share. So one of the biggest hurdles that we've been finding with our Story Center series is that a lot of people have great ideas, they just don't know how to get them out into the world. So one of the main focuses of this certification is giving them the knowledge on how to query an agent if they're wanting to traditionally publish, if they're oral storytellers. How do they market themselves as an oral storyteller within the community that they're in to get work and to make it more than just a hobby? So we take them all the way from inspiration all the way to having something tangible to share, which isn't something that I that I've seen in this area, and it's really exciting and a great opportunity for our community.
Well, and I think it's really important, you know, when you're considering as a writer, as an upcoming sort of author, and all that, you know what the marketplace is like.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just really inform yourself.
Yeah, we've got specialized workshops on genre workshops. So one of the things that also we found in, we've got the Woodneath Press at Woodneath, which is our publishing
imprint.
And
that's really unique. Yeah.
Yes, it is. We are one of seven libraries in the United States that has a printing service, and one of, I think, two that publishes as well. So we're really lucky to have that opportunity. But one of the things that we were noticing with submissions is that people didn't have a great marketing plan. They didn't know who their audience was, and they didn't really know how to write within their genre. And so we targeted that need. And so now we're offering specific genre workshops so that you can see what it is that your readers are looking for so that you can have a better chance at getting published.
Now, does that also offer one-on-one within these workshops?
Absolutely. We keep our workshops at a low registration so that each of the people that are attending have time to have one-on-one interactions with our teachers who one of our partnership goals with Maple Woods was that all of our teachers are experts in their field. So you don't have Joe Schmo from off the street coming in and talking about,
"Hey, I got a story."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so these are people that are making their living doing this kind of storytelling. So it was really important to us to be able to have that one-on-one interaction, that kind of mentorship capacity within this certification.
I love the shift that libraries have taken in that it's not just about the books on the shelves, you know.
Absolutely. One of the things that our library director, Steve Potter, he recently wrote a book called The Purpose-Based Library. And one of his main points in that book is making sure that as communities and as society evolves, so do libraries. So really targeting those needs within communities, whether that's being a warm space for the community if that's all they need, or if really within our community, in the community that we're located, they can all go and buy books on Amazon. So they don't necessarily absolutely need a library.
Right,
so we're identifying different needs that they have. So early literacy is a big focus with our story times. And with the Story Center housed within the library, it was a natural fit that storytelling in general be a big push for our library.
You know, and we're just talking about the Mid-Continent Public Library, the Woodneath Library Center. There's different branches all over Kansas City and Independence and whatnot. But, their website is mymcpl.org. And, of course, it's a little different for the Woodneath Library Center. Is it backslash?
It's the Story Center, It's mystorycenter.org. And that'll get you specifically to all of the events and all of the resources that are specific to storytelling at the Story Center. You can find it through the main website, but that's a little bit easier route as well.
And again, Woodneath Library Center is located at 8900 Northeast Flintlock Road, Kansas City, Missouri. 883-4900 is their phone number if you don't have access to the internet, and you can just give them a call and ask for Melissa.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got 33 acres. Yeah. We just recently put in a trail. Our library is beautiful. We've got an electric fireplace. So in these cold winter months, when you're looking for a beautiful place to spend some time, come visit me. I'd be glad to give you a tour.
Yeah. Well, and I know that not all the activity, all the excitement takes place inside, indoors, in the library. You have that beautiful, I think, is it a stage or something, reading space outdoors?
We have been using
I'm just making stuff up now.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. We often use the front porch of the old house to do storytelling events. Most recently, we did it was called Make Music Liberty, and we were able to bring in a bunch of musicians, and they performed on the stage while others watched on. We're also in the process of doing some really interesting things with the land. So one of the things that is in our 5-year plan, I believe, is to do an outdoor amphitheater.
And that'd be lovely.
Yeah,
that'd be
lovely. It'll be another space that we do a lot of storytelling and writing events.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Melissa Stan, for coming in today and sharing with us what's happening at Woodneath Library Center. Thank you. And I know you'll be back.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Maria. I've enjoyed it. Yeah.
Terrific. And I want to say that completes another episode of ArtSpeak Radio. Thanks to Selena O'Neill, Michael Young, Fred Whitehead, and Melissa Stan. Next week, October 11th, we've got Erica Lynette Baker, Pablo Sanueza, Haley Mage, and we start our pledge drive on air next week. Actually, we start, next week. I'm going to be pledging with... I'm going to be on Jason Bavoni's show, Boogie Bridge, from 3 to 6. So I'm going to help pitch for that show. Stay tuned for our beautiful and talented Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon. He's up next at 1 o'clock, followed by Groovy Grant at 3. I want to thank you all so much for listening, making us a part of your day. Thanks so much. Hey, honey, I'm coming home.